This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Randy Abrams-Karas, Senior Campaign Director, and Nancy Uding, Grants and Research Specialist for the Washington Toxics Coalition. Randy and Nancy are here today to tell us about what the Washington Toxics Coalition is doing at the policy and marketplace levels to stem the flow of toxic chemicals that affect our health and environment. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you begin by saying a few words about the Washington Toxics Coalition?
Washington Toxics Coalition is a nonprofit organization, and we work to get toxic chemicals out of consumer products. And we do that through policy and advocacy work and through working for change in the marketplace.
Let's talk about your efforts at the level of public policy. You've been a leader in addressing toxic flame retardants. So let's focus on those. Would you remind us of the health risk from toxic flame retardants?
Well, some have been shown in labs to cause cancer, some are neurotoxic, some are endocrine disruptors. So we're concerned as they leach out of or seep out of furniture and they become dust in our air, and children are especially vulnerable and can be exposed to the possibility of developing any of these things I just mentioned. And firefighters are actually even more vulnerable because as some of these chemicals burn, they become even more toxic and they absorb them in their skin. They breathe them in. It stays on their equipment. And we've seen higher rates of different kinds of cancers in firefighters than in the general population. And there's a link to the flame retardants, the actual flame retardants that don't actually do the job of stopping fires or slowing fires, but they do the job of making firefighters sick.
One thing we can add to it is that there is science linking some of these flame retardants to these health effects. Many other of the chemical flame retardants, there simply hasn't been testing for safety done on the chemicals themselves. So we have a lot of data gaps in terms of the health effects. And one thing that we're fighting for is to keep these things from being used so that we aren't just doing an experiment on the population to see if they are safe or not. And we are calling on chemical companies to really make sure that these things are tested for safety, and the public needs to know what the health effects of these things are.
And I think Nancy brings up an excellent point. We have been a giant experiment for the chemical industry, that they are allowed to introduce chemicals on the market with minimal amounts of knowledge of what are the health impacts. And that's what Washington Toxics Coalition does, is we're trying to reverse that process.
Would you say more about where the toxic flame retardants are found? What products?
Well, they're found in a lot of our furniture that we use. They're found in a lot of products made to take care of infants and children. They're also used in electronics and plastic products. We see a lot of that. Yeah, like a lot of the equipment in the studio probably has flame retardants in the plastics that they're made out of. And studies have shown that flame retardants do filter out of many of these products and then get into dust and air, and so people are exposed to them.
What happened in the 2015 Washington State legislative session in regard to the legislation to ban toxic flame retardants?
Well, our Toxic Free Kids and Families Act, House Bill 1174, passed the House twice, once 95-3 and once 92-3, because there were three legislators out for that particular vote. So what we see is a growing bipartisan or even nonpartisan. This is just not a partisan issue anymore. People understand that these chemicals are bad, that we need to stop them, and we need to close the door on them. So it passed the House almost unanimously twice. As you know, there were a lot of issues the legislature was grappling with this past session, including funding public education and passing a budget. We did not get it through the Senate. That was the sticking point, but we are hoping that with enough support, and we've done a lot of education in the interim, And we think that we have a path forward for the Senate. We're hoping that this year will be the year that we finally get it to the governor's desk.
Would you just highlight the key elements of the bill that you're planning to put forward in 2016?
The bill bans 5 toxic flame retardants that is in line with a report that the Department of Ecology did on the 5 most toxic flame retardants found in children's products and home furniture or residential furniture. And then it will give banning authority to the state to stop what we call regrettable substitutions from taking place. We're in the position we are in now because in 2007, when the legislature banned PBDE flame retardants, which are highly neurotoxic and found in human breast milk, found in salmon, found in orcas, found in seabirds, they were unable to pass banning authority that would stop the replacement of PBDEs with other bad chemicals. And that's exactly what happened. So when PBDEs were banned, the chemical industry just switched to one chemical in particular people might recall is Tris, which was used in children's pajamas in the 70s until tests were done and it was showing up in children. And it's a carcinogenic chemical and it was taken out of children's pajamas. But now it's in our furniture. So the Toxic Free Kids and Families Act will close the door on that by giving the state the authority to stop the regrettable substitutions. And then we'll worry about the next thing. But that's the key part of the bill. It's not just banning the bad ones, because we know, you know, that people understand that these particular chemicals are bad. But what's next? And so we just need to stop that.
What are the findings from the recent report of toxics in kids' products that came out from the Department of Ecology in September?
Here in Washington, we have the Children's Safe Products Act. We worked on passing this in 2008. And it has set up one of the nation's first most comprehensive chemical reporting systems in the country. And other states are actually modeling laws now after the one we have here in Washington. But one of the things that the Children's Safe Products Act does is it set up a reporting requirement that manufacturers of children's products have to report to the state if they sell products in Washington that contain any of 66 chemicals of high concern to children. So manufacturers report this to the state, and twice a year, the Department of Ecology releases the information to the public. So beginning of September, we had a new release of information that had been reported by manufacturers over the prior 6 months. And there were over 6,500 reports of these chemicals in children's products that was just released over the 6 month period of time. So we see this as an indication that this is a very widespread, very massive problem. I mean, this is a lot of children's products that are on the shelves of many, many stores that contain some of these chemicals.
Which children's products are of most concern?
Well, which are of most concern? I mean, they're all of concern. One thing that I've done when I look through the data is I kind of gauge, you know, what are the products that are most commonly seen? And we see huge amounts of children's clothing products and footwear. Also, bedding. We see lots and lots of toys, all different kinds of toys. You know, children's accessories. We see a lot of baby care products, so like bibs, nap mats, baby car and booster seats, baby carriers.
And personal care products.
So things that people use for washing and cleansing and skin moisturizers, and even for older children that are playing with cosmetics. So children's cosmetics are being reported.
Are there certain companies that are particularly bad in terms of having toxics, or is it just very widespread?
Well, it is very widespread. We do have a few. I mean, there's definitely companies that are reporting the most often, and I can actually tell you what some of those are. So the companies that report the most often, the Gap is one of them, VF Corporation, which is Vanity Fair. It's a conglomerate of brands. Nike, H&M, Gymboree, Greenbrier International, which is associated with Dollar Tree stores, is a big one. Triboro Quilt Company, Walmart, Carter's, J. Crew. So those are just a few. But there's many, many companies that are reporting these chemicals.
How will this Department of Ecology report be followed up?
How it will be followed up, one thing that we've done over the last couple of months is I've gone through the data to really sort of delve into it a lot. And one thing that we do have, part of the Children's Safe Products Act in 2008, in addition to the reporting requirement, this act placed limits on 6 phthalates. Many of these are hormone-disrupting chemicals. Also on lead and on cadmium in children's products being sold in Washington. And also, when we passed this law, it helped spark the U.S. Congress to also pass a law to limit lead and the same 6 phthalates in sort of a different subset of children's products. So we do have some limits in effect statewide and nationally on some of these chemicals. So going through the reports, I did identify quite a few products that were actually being reported by the manufacturers, basically admitting that they were exceeding state and federal regulations. So one thing that we did at Washington Toxics Coalition is we went to the Department of Ecology and met with them, and we requested that they investigate these apparent violations of state and federal regulations. And so we're very happy to report that they have agreed that they are going to follow up and they are going to investigate these reports.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Randy Abrams-Karras, Senior Campaign Director, and Nancy Uding, Grants and Research Specialist for the Washington Toxics Coalition. Our topic is efforts at the policy and marketplace levels to stem the flow of toxic chemicals that affect our health and environment. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Where do efforts to address toxics at the federal level currently stand? Perhaps you could start with efforts to amend the Toxic Substances Control Act.
The Toxic Substances Control Act passed in 1976 and was signed by Gerald Ford, President Gerald Ford. Disco was popular. Gold chains were popular. Think back to the 70s. It was the bicentennial, and that is the last time any action was taken to address toxic chemicals in consumer goods. So that Toxic Substances Control Act, called TSCA, grandfathered in tens of thousands of chemicals that required no other examination about health impacts. And that is the legacy that we are dealing with now and why we do what we do. There have been attempts over the years to reform TSCA, but those efforts have been dominated by the chemical industry, including this most recent effort. A bill passed the House, and now there is a bill being considered in the Senate. And I use the word considered loosely. We have worked with allies in Washington, D.C. to shape the bill in a way that would be the least disruptive to the work that states do and that we in Washington do, because our state is a leader in protecting its residents from the effects of toxic chemicals. And we have a unique ecosystem and environment that we are the best experts on. So this Senate bill that is being considered, and the House bill also, our concerns are that they would preempt our laws and preempt our ability to pass new laws. So we've been working on shaping that language with some limited success. And we've worked with the Attorney General of our state and other states. Other attorneys generals have weighed in as well with concerns, and governors. So the states that have the best toxics regulations and programs are paying very close attention to the bill that is being considered in the Senate. We have communicated with Senators Murray and Cantwell that we would like no votes on the bill. Whatever passes in the Senate, should it pass, we'll have to go to conference committee, because the House bill and the Senate bill are very different looking. So at this point in the conversation, our efforts are to make sure that as many people, even if they vote for the bill or don't vote for the bill, if they make a floor speech and have their comments noted that this bill does not do enough to protect states' rights, it will be on the record to go into conference. And that is what will happen eventually if this bill moves forward. Interestingly, and just a little political aside, the bill has been sponsored by Tom Udall and David Vitter. David Vitter, who recently lost his bid to be the the next governor of Louisiana. And he has also said that he is leaving. He's not going to run for re-election to the Senate. So we're not sure how that plays into what happens next.
Another effort at the federal level is a proposed U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission ban on flame retardants. Would you tell us about this proposal and where it stands?
It's an interesting proposal and one that's been a long time coming. We're excited and we've been asking people to sign on to a petition. And you can go to our website at whatoxics.org to find out more information, or even go to our Facebook page or Twitter, and there's lots of information. But this would ban organohalogen flame retardants in certain consumer products. So it's a big step. It's a way for people to directly have their voices heard. They can write a letter or sign a petition through us, which we will submit to them. I mean, the fact that this agency has taken up toxic flame retardants is a big statement in itself.
It's very significant because the Consumer Product Safety Commission generally has traditionally looked at more like physical hazards, like bars on cribs that are too wide and children get their heads stuck in.
Or strings on blinds.
Yeah.
When is the decision likely to be made?
Sometime next year.
So if proposals at the federal level in regard to toxics are enacted, how will this affect the need for action at the state level?
Well, we're hoping for the and working for the best outcome at the federal level, which would be out of our way. So for states that don't consider toxics in any of their planning, in any of their concerns for public health or environment, we're hoping that there are some standards set through federal legislation. Meanwhile, allowing states like Washington or Maine or Vermont or Minnesota, the states where a lot of really good work is happening, we just want to be able to continue to do the work that we're doing without being preempted. So if the EPA starts considering a chemical to ban or to limit its application, we still want to continue to be able to do the work on that chemical. We don't want to be stopped if we think that there's a better standard for the residents of our state.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Randy Abrams-Karras, Senior Campaign Director, and Nancy Uding, Grants and Research Specialist for the Washington Toxics Coalition. Our topic is efforts at the policy and marketplace levels to stem the flow of toxic chemicals that affect our health and environment. Where are you focusing your efforts to address toxics in the marketplace?
Well, we're still doing toxic flame retardants, and we have some successes, recent successes, that we can crow about. Macy's is a really big one at the national level. Macy's has recently said that they will be phasing out the use of toxic flame retardants in the furniture that they sell, and they're instructing their suppliers of that fact. Before that, it was Ashley Furniture. They're the largest manufacturer of furniture in the U.S., and they decided on a policy to phase out the use of toxic flame retardants in the furniture that they sell. And so there's sort of been this domino effect where the largest, Ashley Furniture, Crate and Barrel, Macy's, and Pier 1 have all made these declarations. And we're also seeing large purchasers of furniture making procurement decisions, saying that they will no longer purchase furniture for their offices. So Facebook has made that decision. Kaiser Permanente, some large healthcare systems in the Midwest have decided that their procurement policy will eliminate the use of toxic flame retardants.
What was the nature of the campaigns that led companies to change their procurement policies?
Public involvement. So reaching out to the presidents of these companies, signing petitions, social media, and telling the truth and just highlighting what these companies were doing or not doing and encouraging them. There's always the campaign, meaning wherever it's happening, wherever the company is headquartered, there's some outreach done on that level. Will you consider this policy? And if they say no, you know, then we ramp it up so that they understand that it's not just this nonprofit that's interested in the policy, but there are actual human beings, consumers, of those products concerned. And that's where the pressure starts happening. And we're finding that these retailers actually are concerned about what their customers want. And it's been an incredible movement to watch. And it works well on the policy side because, you know, policies change at the marketplace depending on dollars. And it can also change again. So these things pass, these things happen at the retail level and the marketplace level. And, you know, then we can pass a policy that makes their marketplace decision law.
What are the challenges of trying to work through the marketplace to reduce toxics?
Some groups just don't want to be told what to do. I think for the marketplace and for retailers and manufacturers, it's all about money. And so is this a good financial decision for them? And I think that we've made the case that it is because consumers want what they want. And when we highlight that, another example, so I was talking about toxic flame retardants, but I'll switch to vinyl flooring and phthalates, Lumber Liquidators, Home Depot, Lowe's, all have come out with policies about phasing out the use of certain phthalates in their vinyl flooring, which is significant. Lumber Liquidators was highlighted on 60 Minutes, and they came under fire about what they were doing. And consumers see this, and they say, oh my gosh, what am I exposing my child to? And I want better, and we're seeing the retailers responding to that.
In terms of challenges to some of this marketplace work, and also, you know, in terms of policy work, is that the chemical industry is really well-funded and well-organized, and they have lots of resources, and so they are pushing back. They want, of course, to retain their profits and sell their chemicals, and so they're trying to influence companies and policymakers, too.
In your view, is the marketplace or public policy a more promising approach to addressing toxics?
I think it's a combination. I mean, these things work together and they move each other. I think they move each other a little further along.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I wouldn't prioritize one over the other.
What are the priorities for Washington Toxics Coalition for 2016?
Toxic flame retardants. We are going to pass the Toxic Free Kids and Families Act. We're also starting to look at, with the state, chemical action plans regarding the nonstick chemicals. Trademark Teflon.
Teflon chemicals. They're called PFCs, polyfluorinated chemicals. So we're going to be working with the state on a chemical action plan to start looking at the uses and figuring out what are some of the ways to limit these chemicals from being used and getting out into the environment and exposing people. And then we also have the possibility of working with the state in another chemical action plan process on, hopefully, on phthalates. So we're looking forward to that.
So phthalates are used as plasticizers. And something that was just brought to my attention is the vinyl decals that people put up in their children's rooms mm-hmm. or that we find in our pediatrician's office are actually sources of phthalates. So it's really important and serious work ahead that we hope to bring some good planning and good green chemistry into the fold so that we're not just saying this is bad, we're looking at safer alternatives.
We need to look at safer alternatives, and you know, we also work in support of green chemistry in our state. We want entrepreneurs and inventors to start developing chemicals that are safe and that can be used.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Keep in touch with us. Look on our Facebook page, look on our website, and get involved in the Toxic Free Kids and Families Act. We need lots of people on our action alert systems, and it's starting in January, so it's coming up soon.
There's never a bad time to communicate with your legislator or write a letter to the editor or find a way to make your opinion known. Like us on Facebook and Twitter, share our information, be an informed consumer, but work for change because we're all informed consumers and we can't shop our way out of this problem. We actually need safer chemicals and better policies.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
You were just listening to Randy Abrams-Karras, Senior Campaign Director, and Nancy Uding, Grants and Research Specialist for the Washington Toxics Coalition. For more information, check on the web at watoxics.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the Streaming Archives section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and on kexp.org.